Hey, everybody.
Does anybody hear me?
I can hear you.
Am I even here?
You are here. And I'm feeding a baby. That's how things go.
If an atom falls at the racetrack, it never recovers mentally. No one sees it. Did it happen?
Well, you probably talked about it on Slip Angle, so everybody knows about it.
It's been kind of a quiet time for Slip Angle recently. We haven't had much chance to record.
Yeah. Sorry. I had a rough NCM mentally. It was very busy. Very busy for me. I had no bandwidth left. Now I'm on a ladder caulking a brick lintel on a building for another 10 seconds, and I can podcast for sure.
I am currently holding a baby, listening to headphones with my face in a microphone next to a soundboard. So I'm trying to... and I'm also giving her a bottle. So,
Sloan is the cutest person on the planet right now, by the way.
Is that right?
So freaking cute.
Yeah, she's kind of adorable.
Yeah, she has the best face in the world. So
she's got really big eyes. Just
she's a very cool kid. You guys made a pretty little baby. So good job.
Yeah. Nice job. Congratulations on the sex.
Yeah. Great job.
Thanks,
great job,
Scott.
With the gorgeous sex, Abe.
Yep.
Are you recording things right now?
Yeah, I hit the button early. Yeah. So if we want to cut some stuff out, that's fine. But
whatever. Who cares? It's a little bangle.
We actually didn't release anything for Tuesday the 27th, so if we get done with this, I might actually just put it up for today.
Yeah, we'll do this, and then we'll talk about one lap with Scott. We'll talk about it with Tomo once he gets his rental car in. I think he's at pit race today. So
that man leads a very exciting life. He's all over the place all the time.
Sounds hard, yes. Actually.
Jet setter. Well, and that's what Ross Bentley always says is, you know, he coaches and drives for free, but he gets paid to travel.
Yeah. This is the worst part of his job, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I think he did 250 days in airplanes a couple years ago?
Yeah, I think that's right.
It's a quick lunch break thing, and we've had Scott Robertson on a few times, host of Track Walking Podcast, along with Seth, and...
So on Monday, yesterday, you released a show that we had recorded at NCM. I hope that your listeners were pleased. I think I'm going to release that show on Friday.
You should.
How did that show go? I was wandering the paddock, solving the problem. We're done.
Drunken stupor, maybe?
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I don't think it was nearly as bad as I remembered it.
No.
Well, I can
that's like
say
a first for track walking. Too.
I can say, and I'm pretty sure I said this on the show, that what was it? Four Roses, single barrel, something or other. I can't recall exactly what we were drinking. But I like bourbon. I like
barrel strength.
I like barrel strength bourbon. Even I can say that what we were drinking that night was like fire, and I think quite confidently that it was undrinkable, though Ed might disagree.
Well, that was that from Chandler Marr? I saw him in the bus or in the trailer.
No, Chandler brought something else, but I think it was actually Ed's bottle, but I think it was Ed's. I did not like it. At all.
I kept drinking it, and then I kept making a terrible face and like breathing fire.
Well, you kept drinking it, but then you'd hand your cup to Becky.
Becky. Yeah.
You guys didn't seem that drunk when I came in, and it seemed like about 5 minutes after you stopped recording. But Ed had disappeared, and you said Ed was relieving the drunkenness from his stomach.
This was the first weekend that I had gotten to meet Ed's girlfriend, and she's a delightful young lady, and took care of him this week on that weekend. So she's probably a keeper.
Yeah, yep. She seemed pretty rad, actually. Yeah,
yeah, she was doing the Lord's work that night. Yeah.
Why, I don't know why I sounded surprised when I said that Ed's girlfriend seemed pretty rad, because he's one of my favorite people. So I would assume that anybody that he would be like, hey, I would like to hang out with you more than once, I would assume that person would be rad. So yeah, good job, Ed, finding what seems like a cool person to hang out with. So, so we got Scott on for a quick, 20, 30 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever he's got. But you've had a crazy week. How did NCM go? And where are we at?
Yeah, NCM did not go well.
Seemed good in the first couple of races, but
You know, you'd say that, except I didn't finish race one.
Yeah.
No, I turned 15. I went in with all the speed, and just got loose and went off track there, and just brought it in to be sure everything was okay. Didn't go great. Finished race two, which was the first thing Sunday morning, pretty much for us. And my race starts this weekend were about as good as they've ever been. Really feeling good about that aspect.
That was something that you had talked about working on too. So.
Yeah, yeah. We were on the new Falcon 660s, which is a tire with very different characteristics from the AR ones that we were driving. So we were trying to get those dialed in and thought we had it a lot better dialed in for race three. And race three went poorly. We again, we got a good start going through one, even coming out of two. I was with a pack that was approaching another pack in turn five, and the pack in front of us were going slower, but we were aware of it. And I was following George Kombustardis, or I always mispronounce his last name.
George Kombucha. Star.
There you go. Yeah.
He's got a great
and
last
name. I kind of followed him into turn five, and he went left, and as he did, and I was turning deeper into five, a boxer got into the side of Scott Bowling's Cayman, and they both got sideways right in the middle of the track. Did not, Porsche's slide weird, and I had not much time to try to go left and turn what could have been a T-bone into a glancing blow.
Right.
And my left or my passenger side hit the right rear of Scott Bowling's car. And once our rear tires hit, it threw my car in the air, did a 360 into the wall. And then as soon as I hit the wall, West Penn came through and clipped me.
Was that what happened with him? I didn't see any aftermath that happened with his.
But. Yeah, my wing upright cut his brand new carbon fiber wing off.
Really?
Yeah.
The backside of your like sharpened rear wing upright?
Yeah, and it's dulled. I mean, a lot of it was just force coming through. I mean, it's a 3/8 inch aluminum upright. It's going to do some damage. Caved in. You know, that quarter panel because of it. But yeah, when my car came back, the piece of wing that my car had cut off came back with it. So
that's crazy. Yeah, really unfortunate little like basically the Boxster got a little bit light, started to slide out, like back end walked around, and he was right at the back three quarter of Bowling. Then he's counter steering, and then I think he jabs the brakes, which adds a bunch of front bite, and then just kind of spins Bowling. It would have been like a no damage to either car almost had nobody been coming. But there's not a lot of places to go at NCM.
No, and to be honest, like turn five is about as safe as it gets besides the high speed. I mean, there's a ton of run out room there, but it's hard to tell. And I was close to getting by Bowling, but it's nothing on him at all.
He was on for the ride.
Yeah, when his car completed the 180 and his wheels started rolling backwards, a car essentially accelerates from there, and that's basically what happened.
So where's the car at fix wise? Because you've got a thing next week.
Yeah, so it's complicated our plans pretty significantly. The car is currently at Al's Auto Body Experts.
Shout out to Al's Auto Body.
Yeah.
And there's nobody named Al working there, by the way.
No,
so it's Rich.
No.
Yeah, Rich is Rich.
We've never had to go through anything like this. So it's really nice to know that the car is in the hands of not only somebody that we know and care about and trust, but somebody who is good at what they do. And so the current plan and thought, I have to call him later today, is that the car will be done but not pretty by Thursday. And
so
Carson,
I realize that you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Yep.
In terms of kind of a big incident and then a I don't know, fallout is maybe the right word, but like fallout and regroup, I guess, is where you are. In terms of how all of these things could have went down, I'll be honest, sending the car to Al's to get some body work done is like, well, that's it's probably one of the more low stress outcomes that you could have had on a repair like this. It's like, yeah, it's a pain. Well,
it
but
could
like,
have been new tub time for sure, but it wasn't.
No, again, because it was a glancing blow, we were spared a car, essentially.
Now, like,
it wouldn't be a big deal.
Conversely, if you had
like,
blown a motor at NCM or something substantial, that would have been, I think, probably a lot more prep work to make sure that you were ready in time.
Yeah, and you know, the amount of body work is, I mean, every side panel on the car was damaged.
I think the hood was the only thing that appeared to have no damage. And maybe
the hood, the roof, and the trunk all were spared.
So I just want to interject for a second. As an aside, you're speaking of body work. I don't know Chuck Veth very well, but I think we're friends on Facebook, or I follow, you know, CVM on Facebook.
His oil change.
And, Adam, maybe you can appreciate this. They're driving a new GT2 RS this year, which is very cool. Something about it that's not very cool is they tried to do an oil change service before they left this week. And you have to take the rear tires off. You have to take the bumper off. You have to pull the fans and fan shrouds and all of that stuff off. And you have to pull part of the intake off just to get access to the plastic filter, like housing cartridge.
To change the oil?
To change the oil.
Yeah.
That's enraging.
Yep.
He said about 80 plastic clips was necessary to remove, which just seems crazy to me.
And those are like 20-quart engines, too, because they're like real big real big sumps. So is that a $1,000 oil change?
I don't know. But those GT2s, I mean, they have to cram not only all the power, but all the cooling right back there. I mean, it's just German engineering. Just put everything where you can. And
those are busy engine base.
Yeah.
So what got replaced on your car, Scott? Fenders, fenders, doors, rear
fenders,
pullout?
Yeah, fenders, doors, rear quarters had to get massaged. Passenger rocker panel had to get pulled. The rear subframe needs to be replaced, several control arms, the right rear upright, a new rear wheel, taillight, headlight, front bumper, front air dam, stuff. It was a list. So
are you going to replicate all your aero work and stuff, or are you just going to go basic for a warm-up?
We're going to see what we have time for.
Assuming you take this thing.
Right, and that's a big if still for me. I have no doubt that the car will run, but we need to be able to trust this thing for 3,500 miles.
Right.
So the current thought is that Thursday, when the car is done, Carson kindly volunteered to help to bring the car up to us, to trailer it up to us.
Carson works grid for Good Life and Time Tech driver in the past, and sometimes,
fantastic dude. And he's going to get up to us about 10 p.m. on Thursday, and then we have 10 hours to inspect it, evaluate the car, nut and bolt everything, and evaluate it, see if we trust it before, and if we do. And we were able to get everything together. We will drive to Gingerman to get the alignment and corner balance set up. And then we will continue from there down to the one lap.
And that starts on Saturday morning.
Yes, but we need to be there as early as we can Friday for tech registration and all that stuff.
So what tires will you run for one lap this year?
Depends on which car we're taking.
might take Becky's Mazda.
Yes. Yeah. So over the weekend, she completely prepped Mooncake, the Mazda 2. It's a black Mazda 2. It's stock suspension, wheels, tires, short shifter, engine mount. Pretty stock, just kind of B-spec fun, which is gonna be our one lap car for 2022. But we've got it. She's got it ready for this year if that needs to be the case. So to answer your question, if we do it in the Miata, we're gonna do 245 Falcon RT660s, which is a gamble.
I'll be interested to see more of the wet weather performance of that tire, because it's not really something that I've heard people comment on yet. And I know
they've got a good design for it.
Some of the other Mega 200 treadwears are like drivable, but they're not good, right? If you compare it to like a slightly more tread depth PF4S, it's like the Michelin is like superior worlds in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think part of what gave me some confidence, now granted, it's also Tomo at Mid-Ohio, but Tomo got, I think, eighth or seventh in a very wet race at Mid-Ohio on those tires. Part of it, and a large part of it, is these RT660s are ready to go temp-wise, like now. They don't need any heat up, which will play dividends if it gets cool or wet. But yeah, the tread depth and everything just isn't ideal, but in the dry, they just go, they're quick.
What's a 10-day forecast look like? I'm sure you're looking.
Yeah, it's looking warmer, and we're going to be dotting some rainstorms here and there. So it's going to be a gamble. So we'll see.
Mixed bag potentially.
Yeah. And if we take, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we knew part of the decision was that we were going south this year. And the extreme contact sports, which would be on the Mazda 2, if we take it, by the third lap, even they're tired.
Yeah.
Getting slower.
Well, regardless of what happens with the Miata, I'm glad it's salvageable.
Yeah, me too.
Because like Saturday afternoon, you're like, oh, it needs a new tub. And I was like, it doesn't. I'll bet you I can make this drive if I had the suspension part.
Yeah.
But
I didn't know. I mean, when it was sitting up on the truck, or actually when I came and talked to you and Grid right afterwards, just the reality of it. Like if the car was undrivable, then like I'm done for the season. So
I've been watching this body shop out of Georgia. They make YouTube videos. Once in a while they pop up and they fix a lot of spec Miatas. And it's so crazy what you can do to a Miata in 2021.
Yes, it is.
And keep it a race car. Hopefully it doesn't come to that in the future. But I'm glad I'm glad you and everybody else was fine and the cars are all salvageable. So.
Yeah, and I'm glad I picked the Hans device that I did that gave me some side impact protection, because it was that first hit that wasn't dead on. And, my neck is still a little sore, still not quite right. So
We're getting old, man. I found out that you're actually a little bit older than me. So.
Yeah. How about
getting too old for these crashing into walls, man.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. So,
my last question is, how do you feel mentally about the whole drive race car in the future, or even drive race car one lap? How are you feeling in the headspace? Because I know my first encounter with a wall in a race car, I know how I struggled. So I'm just curious how you're doing.
I think that story is still being written. But in terms of the one lap, it's a very time attack based format. So if you do see another car on track, it's an extraordinarily rare occurrence.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, I'm not too worried about it. I'm trying to get in a driver's seat as quickly as I can. And I think, to be honest, this is the perfect venue for it.
Yeah.
The in terms of getting back in and doing a wheel-to-wheel race, which theoretically will be Blackhawk, will be the, my next one. I'm nervous. I'm interested and nervous to see how it's going to be, but doing it is really the only way. And you know, in the past when I've had a few much more minor incidents on track, you know, I've been able to link up with those guys at some point back on track under race conditions, and we've gotten through it okay, which was like a really needed redemption sort of a thing. And this one, kind of not being my fault and very incidental, will be, I think, a lot harder for me just mentally. It's like, I can't just have like this driver and I go too wide through here and then we're good. It's just, I just,
yeah, there's a lot of unknowns in wheel-to-wheel.
See, that, I think that's an interesting point, actually, because when I think about what, how I might respond if I were in a similar situation, I would imagine, hold on, Sloan's talking to you. I'd imagine it would be harder for me to get back into the headspace if I had made an error that caused a collision or caused wall contact. You, in your case, it was through no fault of your own. So I wonder how long it will take you to just get back into, you know, drive hard mode.
Yeah, I think the one lap is going to be a good primer because it is go fast, go now. There's no like waiting. So in terms of like driving a car hard, I'll get that under my belt, which I think will help. It'll kind of be a good first step. And then at Blackhawk, which is a track I haven't driven a ton, but I've certainly driven it. It'll be a smaller GLTC field, which I think mentally will help me as well. And a more laid back weekend as well. I think the conditions are good to have a good comeback at that weekend.
My advice would be, obviously, don't overthink it, and get back behind the wheel. If it's not fun, make it fun again. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Whatever you got to do to get out there and enjoy it. I mean, that's job one after something like this. So.
Yeah, and right now it's basically we really, really want to take the Miata on the one lap. This is the last year the Miata has the opportunity to be on the one lap.
So can you talk a little bit? I mean, I know that you've been driving that car for a while. Talk to me about the desire to change in 2022 to the B-Spec car.
Largely, it's because the Miata has kind of always been an uncomfortable one-lap car, but it is a compromised one-lap car and a compromised wheel-to-wheel car because of it.
Got it.
I've got full doors. The passenger glass broke inside the door.
I just smoked a bunch of it out of my trailer last minute.
I'm sorry about that.
That's fine. I was lucky enough to be able to fit Scott's car and bring it up to Al's afterwards.
Yes.
The new trailer paid off. I love the new trailer.
Yeah. And it still has a passenger seat. I mean, weight is part of it. I can really kind of get a full fire suppression system in there. There's a lot of things that can happen when it's not driven to the track anymore. That this has unfortunately kind of put a dent in my financial ability to get there sooner, but has increased my desire to do it quicker at the same time. So,
well, I assume you got to get back to work, and we're going to bother you and Tom and Alex Moss throughout the one lap week, and put those out as a bunch of shows. So hopefully those are fun, and hopefully it's nothing but a bunch of you guys regaling us with what we're missing, and it's the best week ever. So.
Top 10 this year in the one lap is going to be spicy. Everybody's had 2 years instead of 1 year to prep, and it's going to get real interesting up there.
There's so many like supercars and then so many like super builds.
Any predictions on winner? I know that it's very hard to predict who will win one lap, but do you have a favorite?
I think Tom is going to be extraordinarily hard to beat. I think
He was so fast in that car, Road America last year with us.
Yes.
it was crazy.
Tom's going to be very hard to beat. Andy Hollis is never to be counted out. And as long as those two kind of stay out without incident,
I'll be interested to see how Chuck Vett does, because he's usually a top five contender in the GT3.
Yes. Yes.
With 200 more horsepower, well driven, that might be it, because he is not a slouch behind the wheel, and this could be his year too.
And he is very consistent. That's one thing I've seen from the last 4 or 5 years of me following him and knowing him. He's very consistent. He rarely makes mistakes. He drives a little bit more conservatively, but the one lap really rewards that. And I think with this car, it's got more power, it's got more aero, it's got more tire, it's got more brake, it's got more everything. And I think as long as Chuck can keep his head in it, he'll be top six for sure, likely a low top five, I would guess.
Yeah, it'd be a fun one to watch. So, anybody you want to plug?
Track Walking Podcast, and a huge shout to Tommy's Express Car Wash, who they came on board with us this year to really help us get to the one lap and through this GLTC year. They've been great and huge support, so thank you to them. And biggest of all to Becky Burton, who is really just the best.
Yeah, she's an impressive lady. You found yourself a cool person to do track car stuff with now.
She is. And her first track day in the Mazda 2, she got just over a 2 minute in a Mazda 2 with pretty much stock everything. So she's not slow either.
At Gingerman, yeah.
At Gingerman, yeah.
Abe, who do we have to thank? We got to thank Patreons, FCP Euro, and
we got to thank all those Patreons, of which there are a few more. So thanks to everybody who supports our stupid show, and FCP Euro. You know, all the parts that you buy from them are guaranteed for life. And I know that some of our listeners use that warranty pretty regularly, which is great.
I do on throttle bodies.
Yeah. And also to Apex Pro. They were with us at NCM driving and data coaching and doing all kinds of stuff, which is fantastic, because finding ways to help our drivers get faster is something that we're huge supporters of.
Yeah.
And big new things coming from them in the not too distant future.
Yeah, Scott's kind of a power user of the Gen 1 Apex Pro. So, appreciate the Andrew and Matt Busby doing the NCM track breakdown and then letting us cross post that. That was super cool. I enjoyed
that. That was cool.
It helped me on my one session in Matt Williams' Spec Fit. So.
Nice.
Anyway, well, I hope your day is great, Scott, and I hope everything is smooth as glass on Thursday night. Let us know if we can help with anything.
So. Yeah, I'll probably be doing something dumb like and live streaming it on Instagram or something. So
sounds fun.
Yeah.
All right, Adam, I'm going to hang up this call and I'm not going to stop recording and I'm going to dial Tom.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, see you, Scott. Bye, Scott.
Say hi to Tom for me.
See you, buddy.
Bye, bud.
Hello.
Hey, Tom.
What's going on? How do I sound?
Hey, hello. Adam.
Hello. I'm here.
Hey, is Tom there? Tom's there.
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're great.
It doesn't matter if I can hear you. Abe's the important one here.
Yep. Can you guys hear me okay?
You sound amazing.
Thanks, buddy.
You sound lovely.
All right, so in the middle of potentially putting a baby to sleep, so I'm going to put myself on mute, and you guys chit-chat for a bit. I'll jump in with questions if I have some.
Bye, Sloan. We'll see you later. Great job on Scott's podcast a minute ago. Hey, Tom, where are you at?
I'm going to say different. So this is on, the car. Is it not working? Can you not hear me?
It just jumped back and forth. I can still hear you. What kind of car you got?
You can hear me right now, it's fine?
I mean, it sounds fine, yeah. What rental you got right now?
How about that?
That's better.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you way better now, too. I was worried that this car Bluetooth wouldn't work.
What kind of rental you got? You're out in, Pennsylvania?
Yes, I am driving to Pit Race. I have a little Kia. that has CarPlay, but apparently not a very good Bluetooth thing.
Yeah. So now you're being an illegal beagle holding your phone or what?
Yes. Is that illegal?
I don't know. It's illegal some places.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I won't get in trouble. Maybe you'll capture me getting a ticket on audio. Well,
keep the phone recording in your lap if the cop pulls you over. What are you doing tonight?
So I have a witness.
Well, it's you got to have a witness tonight. Let me get a witness. What are you doing tonight? You doing a track night in America?
Yeah, tonight is the first track night at Pit Race, and I'm actually training a new event lead because I'm not doing track night full time this year. So I get to supervise and hang back as much as possible and help the new duckling fly, I guess. And hopefully it's a pretty easy night, but it's one of the biggest track nights that we do because it's got the highest track capacity of I think any track we do regularly. So we can fit like 35 cars on for HPD.
3 or 4 mile track, right?
Yeah, 3.5, I think, or 3.2, maybe.
I thought it was similar to MCM, yeah.
Yeah, so it's always a big sold out. I mean, and it always sells out because it's kind of central to Northern Ohio and Pennsylvania and stuff. So,
yeah, people love that track.
100 cars, busy event.
What do you got going next week? You're driving a thing in a thing.
I am. I'm driving a thing in a thing and podcast. No, I'm doing my first.
Tom tends to do the things with the things.
I do. I love it, especially in blue Corvettes. No, I'm doing my first one lap of America.
The Corvette that you are driving, who's the owner of that?
His name's Steve Loudon.
Steve Loudon. I knew it was Steve. I was blanking on his last name because he was at he was at Road America with us. You guys co-drove that, and I think you guys won track mod.
Yeah. We were supposed to do one lap last year. And with it getting canceled, we kind of kept an eye out for an event that we could still at least, well, first meet each other. We'd never met each other, but also co-drive and get the car out and, you know, do a thing with a thing. So it turned out perfectly to do it at the Grid Life event at Road America. And I think we won overall as well as track mod.
I think you might have. Yeah, I think you did win overall pace.
Did you remember what the time you set was in the blue car?
Ooh, Abe's back.
Hi, Abe.
Hey, Tom.
I think it was a 2:21. Maybe.
I'm not gonna throw shade, but that's like that's not the fastest time that I would expect out of a ZR1. I'm sure it's very fast, but
maybe it wasn't that. What did James do?
James did a 2:08. I think you did a 2:13 or 2:15 or something like that.
I did a third. I don't remember. I remember also thinking the time wasn't as fast as I was hoping. Maybe I did an 18 or a 19 because I remember a couple people were flirting with 20s. Like I think Jackie Ding was flirting with 20s. I don't remember.
Yeah, but it was a stone stock car at the time, wasn't it? Just on tires.
Yes, correct. No, it was on its stock tires, which I think are the Sport Cup 2s, which are.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They're good. They're not bad tires.
What's done to it for one lap? Any prep changes or?
Nope, same thing.
Yeah?
I am honestly, well, I guess, I don't know. Does anybody listening to this not know what one lap is? They'll figure it out.
We've talked about it for 6 years, so I think.
Okay, got it. Yeah,
because
yeah.
Despite only having done one lap one time, I'm a very big one lap nerd. I think it's just the best event. So.
Yeah, I'm super excited for it. I was going to say, I've never done it, but I know Abe has done it, so he's like the grizzled veteran, and I'm the like rose-colored puppy coming into it. But. Yeah, we haven't done anything to it other than I think there's some rear suspension points that tend to be a problem if you're on, like, extended track use. So he's stiffened those or something. I don't remember exactly what the mod was, but it was not necessarily performance enhancing. It's more like durability.
Right.
And then we had to downgrade the tires because we have to compete on the track and drive on the street on them. So we're going to be on Michelin PS4Ss, which is kind of the default go-to for most people. Like if you're not going to take a big risk, that's what you do.
So or you're insane, in like a car, Andy and Alex in Moss, a car like that, that has a bazillion horsepower, for you when you go out and do your three laps, how will you make sure that you don't overcook or overuse the tire that you know is okay for probably most people, but may not be okay for someone who has the pace like you?
Yeah, I mean that was a big question, right? So we've actually got to test twice now. Once we tested at Eagles Canyon, and once we tested at Summit Point. mostly because I'd never been there, but that was one of the big things I wanted to find out, was how bad is the fall off in three laps with a car like that, and what do I need to do about it? And honestly, it's not the end of the world. Like, lap three is getting to the point of being like, you can still push the car pretty hard, and it'll give you everything you expect, but with a little bit less margin. Lap four, five, and six, though, like, I've tried to go longer than that, and oh my God, by lap five, they're just gone. They're absolutely gone, overheated. So three laps is just about right, just about the most that they'll give you, though, in this format. The other unfortunate part is they don't really make a big 19-inch PS4S, so we're actually only on 325s on the rear. When the car is meant to have 345s, and a lot of people run like the Viper 355s if they can.
It's so big. It's so much tire.
I know. So it's pretty pinched on the back, which is not ideal, but if it rains once, it'll pay off. So it'll work out.
Right. You were saying, you were starting to say something about, what are Andy and Alex driving on? What tires?
I said, or you can be insane and take a risk like them. And I think they're doing the week on Yoko AO52s.
Are they really?
That does sound pretty insane.
Yeah.
They're going to be on steel belts on the way back.
Yeah.
Wow.
But,
okay.
You know, they've got less horsepower, so they're making up for it somewhere.
Yeah, I love that. Those bad motherfuckers.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what's super cool, I think, I mean, Abe, if you've paid attention more, then maybe it's not this way for everybody, but for me doing this the first time, I think the weirdest part about it, other than obviously it's kind of like an endurance style event with time attack at the forefront of it and whatever, kind of cannonball running, is that there's no like reference point really for competition. And maybe partially because you're not exactly competing against each other so much as you're competing against yourself to get through the week. But like, there's no track records, there's no like past results that have times on them, because it's three cumulative laps, not a lap time, and it's from a standing start, and it's really hard to figure out what the pace of the field is actually going to be.
Yeah, for tracks that they've been to before, you know, it's pretty, you can go back and find lap times. Like, for context, anyone listening, I think that the year that the RS Motors crew, Andy and Brandon and Ronnie, drove Ronnie's car a few years back, there was an incident on track where like Andy was driving and the shift cable connection broke, and he on lap one, and he drove the remainder of his three laps in third gear entirely, and I think still was running like 134s at Gingerman, which is like kind of a bang in time for only running in one gear for the entire track.
That don't make no sense.
And the cool story about that is, at that event in the morning when this happened, they were, I think, the second fastest time despite the incident. And then in the afternoon when they had repaired the failure, I think they were like 10 seconds faster than everybody else. So like, I mean, if you go to tracks that you're familiar with, you can usually break apart the lap time into like, you know, maybe 3 or 4 seconds of slow pace for the start, and then the rest is just, you know, divided by three. But in general, the guys and gals at the front are probably the people who have been consistently running one lap, or maybe in Tom's case, just an actual pro.
Right. But to Tom's point, yeah, you're still competing against yourself and your car and all the luck that you have or don't have.
So. Do you have...
the other cool part is this event, since it was postponed last year, like this particular year was, I think at one point they had 80 cars on the waiting list on top of the people that they allow, or 60 or 80, something like that. And now I guess it's gone down to like pretty much everybody's gotten in. But it's like, from my understanding anyway, a really, really heavy hitting year. Because there's all of these people that are clamoring to get in. So instead of, you know, 70% of the heavy hitters being there, it's like everybody plus.
Right. I think there's actually really still cool. Like a 20 car. I think there's still 20 or more on the waiting list. That's what I heard the other day. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely a heavy hitter field because they've had a year and a half to prep.
Mm-hmm. So you've talked for a minute, Tom, about how the car feels after three laps. Do you have any sense for like, you know, what you'll need to do throughout the week to manage the tire to make sure that it lasts to the end?
Honestly, from our experience so far, the tire will last no problem. it's more about managing them in the moment on the track, which when we were testing the two events we went to was kind of what I was challenging myself to do. Is it better to hold back on the first lap and make sure that the car is still there as much as possible on the third, or is it better to come out of the gate swinging and deal with it on lap three? And honestly, I don't know if this is just my you know, experience with motorsports coming from autocross or whatever, but I found it easier to just go for it at the beginning and deal with it as the car deteriorated. But also the way the format works, as you know, is if we're in the top grouping of cars or the top two groupings, which we intend to be, we'll be going onto a green track at 8 a.m. With cold tires, and a lot of the practice that we did probably isn't really that applicable. So I think it's just going to be massive adaption in the moment.
Well, can you comment at all on, I mean, I understand and appreciate that you are a competent rain driver, but what about your comfort level for the tracks that are going to be rainy, if there are any? Are you, would you describe your comfort as just another day at the track, or do you make special accommodations and provisions when you're out driving?
No, definitely not another day at the track. I mean, there's so many implications to that because it's not my car. It's a really fast car. It's rear wheel drive. I've never been to any of these tracks in the wet except for Gingerman. So the tracks this year are Memphis Motorsports Park, Eagles Canyon, NOLA. I guess I've driven NOLA a little bit in the damp last year.
It was wet that entire event, yeah.
Yeah, there was more like puddles and lakes to dodge than there was wet lines right to deal with. Atlanta Motorsports Park, Summit Point, and Gingerman.
Those are fun tracks, man. That's not a bad. That's a good one.
Cool little layout. But I'll have been to three of them in the Corvette, so I'm batting 50% with this car, and none of them in the wet in this car. So that's like, I mean, that's super intimidating. I'm not gonna lie. So I trust myself to adapt pretty quickly. But I definitely don't. That's not like, I don't know, maybe some other people are superheroes like that, but I don't think I'm quite like that.
It's definitely a problem to overcome. It's nothing to be, especially when you have what, like 700 crank horsepower and a car that you've never driven in the wet. That's, you're gonna have to figure some stuff out.
Yeah. And the other thing I like to drive the car with all the driver aids off, which is not a well-known way to, I don't know, most people don't know how to turn them all off, but in the dry, that's the default, just turn everything off, because physics is always the same and driver aids are not always the same. In the wet, though, I don't know that I'll trust myself, so that might also be playing with the modes a bit if it rains. But right now, I mean, I've been joking with all the ASM guys, because they're running a couple of cars this year too, and we have a little group chat about planning the week, and I was like, so at what point do you start to trust the forecast for the event? Because right now it's looking pretty good. And they're like, when you get to the track, don't get excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Cross your fingers, though, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the year that I drove, I made a couple of errors. And one error is I didn't pack enough warm clothing. So, like, even if you're going south, it doesn't matter. Like, pack your winter coat and a hat and gloves, because you just might need it. And the other thing that I did not do, was like I wasn't mentally ready for the fact that it rained 5 days.
Yes.
And we were running the RE71 tire, which is not the PS4S. And so I actually got passed on one of my sessions, which is mega rare, and it's an indication that you're driving very slow. but I think when that person passed me, I was able to like kind of follow their line on Palmer and kind of get used to driving that car in the rain, which was not fun.
Yeah. That's got to be a scary place and a scary car to learn a track like Palmer into in the wet. Sheesh. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, I would say a place no joke. Is audio nothing?
Tom going in and out has crappy service. Adam, you're still there, aren't you?
I am. I don't think so.
So I think I'd really like the chance to talk with Moss and Andy as well during the week, because they're going to be driving Super K. And I think Andy is kind of daily driving it this week to make sure that things are ready. But they had a pretty good event at NCM. And so I talked to Moss this morning, and he said he was feeling decently confident about the cooling changes that they're making to the transmission, but also like cars in general running pretty good.
Yeah, it seemed like it didn't seem like Alex tried to burn it down at NCM, but you know, he had a strong, he was what, P2?
I think so, yeah. I mean,
yeah, he had a strong event.
So. Jackie's performance right now is really, really impressive. And I know that a lot of folks have been talking about, you know, the possibility of a DCT swap breaking this class, but like I don't see it that way. I really, at this point, I see it as, well, that was a necessary step to keep a 20-year-old car competitive with what's currently available on the market.
Just about. I mean, it might break the spirit of Andy and Alex, but I don't think it's going to break the class. So anyway, is Tom back, or we got no Tom? We got a Tom?
He's in and out.
Oh, man, it's the Pennsylvania mountains. They're screwing us up.
So
we'll bother Tom all week next week.
Yeah, that sounds good. But I think we did a show. This has been 45 minutes of us rambling about one lap. So if you are a Slip Angle listener and you're not into one lap, maybe you should just not listen for a couple of weeks, because this is my favorite event in grassroots motorsports, and it's amazing because it's, I think, one of the few events where you can say pretty confidently that money cannot buy you a win.
Right. I don't think it's even possible to predict who's going to win this one, but there's some real strong ones.
I saw on Facebook, I don't know what Andy Hollis is driving, but I saw he posted a picture of the CRX, and I know that he's done it in the CRX a number of times.
He's taken the McLaren, I believe.
Boo. I think a top 10 in the CRX is always going to be better than a top 10 in a McLaren.
He got a top 10 in his EF hatchback with a K20 one year too, I think.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Just, but different times before McLarens and GTRs and all that jazz. So. Anyway. All right. Well, Tom, I hope you're, if you can hear us, I hope your event goes smooth, and we will talk to you soon.
And if you're listening to this show, it's April the 27th. One lap is coming up here shortly. I'm going to try and get the show out today for all of you. So thank you for the patrons, especially the new ones and the old ones. And I'm going to try and order some more Slip Angle t-shirts, maybe with a funny saying on the back. And if you have supported this show for a year, or commit to supporting this show for a year, I'm going to mail you a t-shirt, because, we like seeing those shirts on the paddock. So thank you to everybody. And thank you to FCP Euro for their support. All the parts guaranteed for life. We love those guys, and we love that they love Slip Angle. And then finally to Apex Pro. Lots of cool stuff coming out from them, I think hopefully this year. Lots of new exciting capability and data management stuff. So thanks to all those guys.
All right. Well, have fun, Tom. If you can hear us, we'll talk to you soon.
See you, buddies.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough, and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, and come and find us in the pits at a Grid Life to say hello.